The Fix is in. The Sports Fix.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Signs and Ship, the official printing source of the Sports Fix. Quality printing at affordable prices. Find out more at signsandship.com.
Sports Fix listeners, don't wait all day or all week to get in on the fun. The party doesn't stop when we go off the air all week long. The Sports Fix social media sites are your one-stop shop for all things Cleveland sports. Jump over to Facebook.com/TheSportsFix, Facebook.com/TheSportsFix, and become a fan today because we love fans and they create some of the best sports talk in town, Daddy. You'll enjoy talking to your fellow Cleveland sports fans on the Sports Fix fan page. And if Twitter's your thing, well, you know how we do it. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. It's that simple.
Twitter.com/TheSportsFixCLE, baby.
Chat live with the crew during all your favorite Cleveland sports events, tickets and contests and trivia and so much more. Get with us today, The Sports Fix on social media, Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. Tweet with us at The Sports Fix, CLE. Join The Sports Fix on Facebook and Twitter today. Business owners and professionals, do you want to take your business, your product, your team, your event to the next level? You want to advertise right here with the Sports Fix. Our listeners are among the most loyal listeners on the dial, terrestrial or internet, and our audience is one of the greatest and most receptive audiences in all of radio. The Sports Fix universe is not only listeners of the radio show, but tens of thousands of fans on Facebook and Twitter. Our social media universe expands by the day, all in the prime demographics to help drive your business directly into the winner's circle. Don't take my word for it. The Sports Fix comes with reference upon reference that have done business with us in the past and had some fun along the way. For more information on how we can help you knock your business, event, team, product, or promotion out of the park, email me, Jerry Myers, thesportsfix@AOL.com. That's thesportsfix@AOL.com. And let me help you swing for the fences and hit it out of the park. Advertise your product right here on the Sports Fix.
This is Greg Pruitt, formerly of the Cleveland Browns, and you're listening to The Sports Fix.
Live in Ohio, it's time to get your fix. The Sports Fix.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, whatever it is, wherever you are, welcome in, my friends, to the Sports Fix. Another Friday here on the Sports Fix, which means we're ending another week of not only sports and Cleveland sports, another week here of the Sports Fix, and we're wrapping up another month here on the Sports Fix as the month of September has run past us so quickly. I mean, it's like Usain Bolt style. September has come and gone, and we are already creeping into the month of October. But you know what? In October, they play some really fun baseball, and our Cleveland Indians are poised to be a part of that conversation. Woo! What a weekend this is going to be. Going to be a huge weekend in a lot of different ways. We'll be talking about all of that here in a little bit. Welcome into the Sports Fix, my friends. J-Rock with you, the big daddy on the microphone, Jerry Myers, whatever you wish to call me. Just call me grateful, thankful, and happy that I get to spend 90 minutes each and every weekday at noon live right here on thesportsfix.net with you guys, because this is truly my sanctuary. No matter how dark the storm clouds are outside, no matter what's happening in life, this is my sanctuary with you guys. Life is good. All is good. So welcome in, guys. Going to be a great day, a great show. Of course, Friday means Cleveland Browns preview day, which means Ryan Ruiz from the Inscriber, Jeff Gorman from Browns101.com will both be with us here a little bit later on in the show as we preview the Cincinnati Bengals. And I've already gone on the record and we'll spell it out here as we go through why I think the Cleveland Browns are poised to be 500 after this weekend's game with Cincinnati. We've got the Indians, the final three games of the season, the final countdown, if you will, and you have a one game. Hey, you know what? You hear us talk all the time. We say cliches. You always hear progress and moving forward and looking ahead and all these different things, and controlling your destiny is one of those things that you always hear talking heads like myself throw at you. This is what it means, and this is why you can appreciate it. This is the time of year where those words actually ring true, because by the Indians, play in the month of September the way they did. They put themselves in position. Remember, at the beginning of the month, we're talking with Mike Brandenberry and Jonathan Knight, and we're talking about how the biggest obstacle to the Indians making the playoffs wasn't the schedule. It wasn't the way they were playing. It wasn't injuries. It was the fact that they had several teams that they had to leapfrog, and they didn't control their own destiny. They do now. They've played that way to put themselves in position where it's simple at this point. There's no math that needs to be done. There's no mathematical formulas you need to figure out. You win and you're in. If you lose, you then throw all kinds of monkey wrenches into the whole works there. And as I said, they've got this whole crazy breakdown of ties, two-way, three-way, four-way ties, and how this whole thing could break down. It's going to be an interesting next 72 hours or so, not just here in Cleveland, but around Major League Baseball as these races finish up. You've got the wild card races in both the American League and the National League that'll be decided here. And who knows? We might be playing some extra baseball. Who knows? We don't know if we're coming back home. We don't know if we're done. We don't know what's going to happen. That's what's going to make these next 72 hours amazing. This whole weekend coming up is just going to be a weekend. I mean, look, you got the Buckeyes. You got kicking off Big Ten play. You're up under the lights. You got Wisconsin. That's always a good, interesting matchup there. A good little rivalry budding there. So you've got, you know, some Big Ten football. Meanwhile, the Tribe is buzzsawing here all weekend long. You're hanging and living and dying by each game all 3 days here with the Twins as we nail biter, knuckle last night. Angels so close to beating the Rangers. You know, if you're scoreboard watching at the same time, of course, Texas able to pull that off and keeping the pressure on the Indians, which is good because the Indians are keeping the pressure on themselves. You got the Browns coming up on Sunday, so there's a whole nother thing in there. And for those of you outside the world of sports, it's also the end of perhaps the greatest show in the history of all the greatest shows ever made greatly on television, Breaking Bad, which I'm telling you, that truly is one of the best shows that's ever been made on television. I'll put it up there with The Sopranos. I'll put it up there with The Wire. I'll put it up there with any of your top shows. I'm telling you now, if you haven't watched Breaking Bad, don't jump in the middle of it. Go start at the beginning. Work your way through the entire thing. I mean, it's not just a good show. It's the writing is actually really fantastic. If you're into that kind of thing, it really is a morality play that transforms a guy, as they say, from Mr. Chips into Scarface. But you really see the transformation from beginning to end. And it ends letting you know that there is no happy ending for meth dealers. So there's also a positive story for kids as well. Anyways, getting back into the show here. So it's going to be a huge weekend. I don't even know what I'm going to do on Sunday, because depending on how these events all work, because they're all going to be within hours of each other. You got the Tribe and the Browns and then Breaking Bad and the whole weekend. I could self-combust. I could spontaneously self-combust. There may not be a show on Monday. So enjoy today's show even more than usual, because this whole weekend could change the whole space-time continuum. It could mess the whole thing up. You might need a flux capacitor to put it back into shape. We're going to open up the phone line. As you can tell, I'm rocking and rolling here early today and on my third pot of coffee. I've been up early, too, not just for show prep purposes, but also because today's a little bit of a special day in the history of the Sports Fix. Now I want to talk to you about that before we get too busy into sports. But I'm going to open up the phone lines. 216-539-7535 is the number to call. 216-539-7535. You can hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSportsFix. You can tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. We'll read those on the air throughout the show, especially if you can't get to your phone or you can't call. Perhaps you're at work. Hit us up any of our social media ways, and we'll read those on the air and be a part of the conversation. Because as we say, they give me the microphone, but I give you the voice here on The Sports Fix. Email us, thesportsfix@AOL.com. And remember, 24 hours a day, your one-stop shop for all things Sports Fix and Cleveland sports is the main website, thesportsfix.net. So hit us up. Like I said, phone lines are open. You know, and by the way, here's a little teaser. Indians fans, you want to talk to some hardcore Indians fans, tell them, hey, you need to tune into the show, because I'm going to let you know now, about 10 minutes from now, we're going to be debuting an exclusive right here on the show. Perfect for the weekend. My buddy Dale Officer got a hold of me, and he's just an awesome, awesome production guy. He put it together. a great, it's a spoof, it's a parody song, a tribute song to the Cleveland Indians and the season that they've had. It's in the style of one Blake Shelton, so a popular song and a popular parody. It's exclusive to the Sports Fix, and we're going to play that song for you guys here just about 10 minutes from now, so just another thing to look forward to. But before we get into the sports and before I start answering phone calls, I want to tell you guys a little bit, and I may be a bit scatterbrained today, too. I'm a little bit emotional because September 27th is a day in the history of the Sports Fix that just will live. You don't want to use a phrase like, you know, we'll live in infamy. But it's a day that has a meaning that sticks with us for a long time. 3 years ago. Of course, you guys know, a lot of you might not, because a lot of you are new to the Sports Fix. A lot of you have just figured out about the show or discovered us in some of our new different promotions and different things, different platforms that we're on. But we've been on the air for over five years now. The Sports Fix debuted on News Talk 1420 WHK in Cleveland back on March 24th of 2008. And I actually wasn't a part of the show when it debuted yet. I was still working my way up. I believe I had only been at Salem Communications, which was the parent station of WHK. I had only been there for a short period of time, but when these guys got the show, it was Vic Cortez, Kevin Welsh, and a few other guys. And they got together and they got this show called The Sports Fix, and it went on the air Saturday nights at 9 o'clock at night on 1420. And, well, anyways, both became very, very good friends of mine. And then, of course, I became a part of The Sports Fix about 3.5 years ago or so. But 3 years ago, on September 27th, Victor Cortez, who was unbelievably young, I mean, 40 years old at most, if I believe. Vic may have been 39 at the time, but passed away suddenly out of nowhere. And it really shook me up. It was the first person in the broadcasting business that I had lost. But so I was handed the reins of the Sports Fix right after that. And a lot of pressure, because Vic was a really good friend of mine, and I wanted to keep his, this was his dream and his passion. Him and Kev really kept this thing going. And so, you know, I took over the Sports Fix as being the producer and the main host, and Sean Yerkin came on board, and Brett Crow, and a few other guys. We've had, you know, a lot of moving parts throughout the years, but, you know, the story gets a little crazier when you realize that 1 year to the day later, after Vic Cortez passed away, and of course he was the founder and everything of the show, a year to the day later, September 27th, 2 years ago, Kevin Welsh, also a member of the show, he passes away as well, and his story was unbelievably tragic. Kevin, of course, had cystic fibrosis and dealt with that his whole life, and his end game, if you would call it, his you know, the thing that was going to fix that was a lung transplant. Kevin got a lung transplant, got the transplant, it was successful, and somehow complications in the post-op, Kevin ended up passing away. Kevin was only 30 years old, so the same show, we had two members of the show and two very, very good friends. We were like a family, you know, all of us good friends. And both passed away on the same day, 1 year apart from each other, both members of the Sports Fix. So, of course, last year, I can't lie, last year, September 27th, was a very scary day for me because I wasn't sure. You know, we joke, it's, you know, it's, you make light of something after you deal with the grief. And we used to joke that there was something about that day. So last year, you can bet that everybody that had a part to do with the Sports Fix held their breath on September 27th for an entire 24 hours, but we made it through the day, and so now here we sit. But so always on this day, and I know, hey, okay, and I know you guys aren't tuning in to hear this, but I know Kevin and Vic are looking down. Trust me, they started this thing. You guys like what we're doing. I'm just giving you the backstory because that's what one of the things that motivates me to keep this thing going, to keep us going. And I know that every time something good happens for the Sports Fix, every time we bump onto iHeartRadio, get added onto this platform and that, every time new people come aboard, I know that they're looking down. And so I asked them for a favor this morning. I said, hey, because you're not going to meet two bigger Cleveland sports fans than Vic and Kev. And I said, hey, now that you guys are up there pulling some strings, this Indian summer has been pretty good. How about we keep it going just a little bit longer? Why don't you go ahead and run this thing out for us a little bit? So hopefully we've got some help looking up from above here for the Cleveland Indians. But anyways, that's why September 27th is a important day in the history of the Sports Fix. And I just feel, you know, it's my little way, telling that story, my little way of keeping those guys alive. Because if Vic and Kev don't start the show, then there's nothing for me to continue. And, you know, I'm sure maybe I'm doing this or maybe I'm not. Who knows? You know, you guys know. Life is fragile. Like, little ripple in the water changes the path of everything. And who knows if I'd ended up here, who knows if you would be sitting at your computer or your laptop or your phone or whatever listening to this show right now. Who knows how it all would work out. Hey, maybe the Indians wouldn't have had the summer they did. Who knows? Who knows? It's a ripple in the water. So are the sands in the hourglass, and so is the days of our lives. Anyways, we're going back to talking some sports here and getting back into things, you guys. And you know what? I got comments coming in the chat room, and thank you to those of you that appreciated my little story there. But going back into it and looking at these Indians here, I'm getting comments coming in left and right going, J-Rock, you haven't said a word yet about Chris Perez. And that's because I was, you know, I'm big on balancing out the positives and the negatives. And of course, you always want to present, you know, and that's not the first thing that I'm looking at, but that's got to be the last thing that you're looking at coming out of last night's game. Because now that it's out there and now that the elephant's in the room, let's talk about that. Because yesterday, you guys, we had a little lengthy conversation here talking about the whole Chris Perez thing, and Bruce, I see you in the chat room there, and God bless you. You'll stick up for your guys. Guys, I love that. I don't like guys that say, here's my opinion, and then when you give them your opinion, they change their mind. I mean, it's cool if you can convince somebody, but, you know, sticking by your convictions is something too, you know? So I'll give Bruce credit. Bruce sticks by Chris Perez, and I'm with that, and I've been a pretty fair guy with Chris Perez. If you guys have listened to the show all summer, you guys have listened for the last few years, you know that I will get on Chris Perez, but I also give him a little bit of leash too. I understand the moving pieces in the thing. Maybe I'm a little too much that way, but when you look at what happened here, you look at what happened last night, he may have just done all of us the biggest favor in the world, because Tito was giving him an opportunity to go out there with no pressure, to go out there and get some good vibes, some good mojo going for Chris Perez as we get ready to head into the playoffs here. And instead, luckily, it was in a non-save situation. So we kind of got the best of both worlds if you're not a Perez fan going into the playoffs, because you got a chance to show Tito again, look at what you're getting. This is a ticking time bomb that you're getting ready to take into the playoffs, yet it didn't cost us a must-win game. But, I mean, come on, 6-1, and it's a nail-biter coming out of there. And I'm with it, and I'll give him credit for saying he had nothing. But he went to Tito last night, and he basically capitulated the closer's job. And you can give him a pat on the back for that if you want and say, well, that's good for him looking out for the team, not looking out for himself and being straight up. But you know what? At the same time, man, part of that feels like maybe brother just packed it in. Part of it feels like, I told you guys yesterday, I've had the feeling, I've had it for a while, that Chris Perez is just done playing baseball in the city of Cleveland. And I think that is a part of this whole mindset too. Let's get this first break out of the way, because I want to pick that right back up when we come back up, and then I'm going to change the tune, literally, because I'm going to play a debut here on the Sports Fix. You guys hear parody songs, and you've seen parody shirts and different things from our team. Well, we've got one of our own. My man, Dale Officer, Blake Shortstop, if you will, hooked me up with a nice little tribute song to the Indians that you can only hear exclusively here on the show, exclusively in the next segment. So tune in, and I think you're going to enjoy that. Matter of fact, sit tight. When we come back, we're coming back talking Tribe, baby. That's right. Right now is the time. And that's why this whole Chris Perez thing couldn't have happened at a worse time. Because the last thing you need to be dealing with going into the playoffs is moving around the back end of your bullpen. Moving around the pieces that should be solid. We'll talk about that, though, when we come back. Talking Tribe Baseball. Don't forget, Ryan Ruiz and Jeff Gorman previewing the Browns and the Bengals and so much more. Daddy, we've just popped the top off this Sports Fix. It's going to be a hell of a Friday today.
When it comes to Cleveland sports, we go from
"You can't touch this"
to
"I can't watch this."
So listen to The Fix. It's easier on the eyes.
Guys, want to take just a second as we head into this break and remind you about the official business printing source of the Sports Fix, our friends at Signs and Ship. Signs and Ship, I'm telling you, Chris and Pam, they've taken care of me since day one, and they can do the same for you. Whether you're a small business that's
already been established and you're looking to grow to that next level and expand your business, or perhaps you've got an idea that you just know is going to be a great business and you need to figure out how to brand it and how to promote it and put it out there, Signs and Ship is the place for you. If you need a logo, they can create one for you. They have a fantastic graphic designer. Business cards, signs, banners, yard signs, mobile advertising, anything you can think of that you need to promote your business, they've got it at Signs and Ship. The best thing about them, too, is each of their locations, whether it's the home base here in Elyria, Ohio, that I work with, or their spots in Virginia, Florida, and Pennsylvania, it's all local sourced. Very important to me because we all understand that small business is the lifeblood of the community. So check them out, signsandship.com, or call Chris and Pam today, 440-323-6060, the home office in Elyria, Ohio. Signs and Ship, quality printing at affordable prices.
Hey everybody, this is Jerry the King Lawler from WWE, and you're listening to The Sports Fix.
Portions of The Sports Fix brought to you by GV Art and Design. Find all the hottest Cleveland sports gear online at gvartwork.com or at their brand new store on Detroit Avenue in Lakewood.
I'm here again with Bill Opelich from Quick Lane at Valley Ford. Bill, what's new in the Quick Lane?
Battery rebate. Summer is just as hard on your battery as the winter. Quick Lane at Valley Ford will test your battery at no charge. And if you need a battery, we have a $25 mail-in rebate on the purchase of a tested tough Motorcraft battery starting at $79.95.
Wow, that's a great deal, Bill. Tell me more.
Our brake rebate is still on until June 30th. $25 per axle with the purchase and installation of Motorcraft brake pads, as well as offering a $50 rebate when you purchase $250 or more and charge your Ford genuine credit card. Some exclusions apply. As always, we have a low price guarantee on all our tires. If you find the same price within 30 days, we will refund the difference. Stop in, let us check your battery and top off your washer fluid.
Where do I have to go to get those great deals?
Come to Quick Lane at Valley Ford on Canal Road between Rockside and Granger in Valley View, just 10 minutes from downtown Cleveland. We're open at 7 every day. Open late Monday through Thursday till 9, Friday till 6, and Saturday till 2.
Go to quicklane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
Incoming transmission. You got a message.
Sports Fix listeners, don't wait all week to join in on the fun. Follow the Sports Fix on Facebook.
Follow the Sports Fix on Facebook.
They love friends. It's just a click away. Exclusive contests, trivia, tickets, and giveaways from the hottest sports show in town, the Sports Fix. Become a friend and follow the Sports Fix on Facebook today.
Football season is party season at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. And no matter who you root for, everyone wins at Harry Buffalo. Every Sunday, the Sports Fix is broadcasting live with giveaways and prizes. And joining you in watching all the Browns action with Bud Light beer specials and $10 Hair of the Dog pictures.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. That's some fun.
Plus, every Monday night, catch the Monday Night Football action with some of your favorite Browns players. Football season is most definitely party season, and your headquarters is Harry Buffalo, North Olmsted. Harry Buffalo. Join the herd. You are the voice of the Sports Fix. So pick up your phone now and call 216-539-7535. 216-539-7535.
Now, back to the Sports Fix.
Welcome back to the Sports Fix, streaming live here on the SportsFix.net or wherever you're listening on digital delay throughout the day on iHeartRadio or iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spreaker, all the different formats that bring you to the Sports Fix universe. Welcome in. Bad medicine, I'll tell you. Bad medicine for Tribe fans might be Chris Perez closing some games the way things are looking. Welcome back to the Sports Fix. J-Rock with you and picking back up where we left off with that Chris Perez comment, because in the chat room, they've been going to town here. I see Adam and Bruce and a couple other guys talking about Vince, the author, in there about who should be the closer going forward. Because, and if we're having that discussion, then I'm going to throw a wrinkle into that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to throw some food for thought out there, and then we're going to kick it to the exclusive debut of the Indians parody song, This Team Right Here. I'm going to play that. You guys mull over this whole closer thing, and then we'll talk about that. Because, you know, a lot of options coming out here with just some of the conversation I'm seeing in the chat room here. But my wrinkle for that is, if you're going to talk about anybody but Chris Perez being the closer,
then do you put Chris Perez on the playoff roster? And I'm just going to put that out there because Chris Perez is your closer. Chris Perez isn't your long reliever. Chris Perez isn't your middle guy. Chris Perez isn't your tinker with this definitely isn't tinker with anything time. We don't have time for that. This is win or go home time. So if you decide that Chris Perez is not your closer, then do you make it a round by round? Because you can change your playoff roster. You can tweak it round to round. Do you not carry Chris Perez into the first round of the playoffs? Because if he's not going to close, what good is he wasting a spot on there when you can put a much more versatile or valuable person in there? And I'm not saying, don't confuse the two. I'm not saying don't put Chris Perez on the playoff roster. I'm saying if you're going to do Chris Perez is not the closer, if you're going to do Masterson, if you're going to do Carrasco, I've seen Allen, I've seen all these different people. If you're going to say somebody else should close, I'll sign on for that. But I don't think Chris Perez has a place on the playoff roster if he's not going to be closing games. Think about that. We're going to pick that up. I want to play now. Exclusive. We promised it. We're debuting it. I love when we get to do things here that nobody else is doing. Wait a minute. That's kind of what we do every day. But my man, Dale Officer, he's a fantastic production guy. He does some awesome stuff. He also does some of those tribute parody songs. And he sent me one today under the screen name of Blake Shortstop and Playoff Annie, but it's a spoof of a popular Blake Shelton song. It's called This Team Right Here. You're about to hear the official debut of it right here on the Sports Fix, and then we will put it out on our Facebook and Twitter pages a little bit later on, but we're going to debut it now. Meanwhile, while you're listening, mull over this whole thing, because as I say, if Chris Perez isn't closing them, where do you have him on the roster? We'll be right back. Listen to this. Let me know what you think when we're done.
These fans right here are the greatest in the nation, and the Tribe this year is a real sensation, working real hard for the wild card. That's right. What?
No Tribe.
To go to work in the home field dirt. Gotta shut them down when they beat it in the ground. Double play, goose eggs in our playoff drive. Yeah, this team right here is going all the way this year. Final at bat, feeling all tense. Getting their closers, weak stuff over the fence. The fans around here. This club's legit, they just won't quit. Santana, Jason Kipnis, Michael Brantley, Swish.
Go track.
Let's take the field.
Go track.
Down at Progressive Field.
Get there early, wear blue and red. Get a Ubaldo Jimenez bobblehead for free. Go try. That's right. Playoff bound, told Francona for the mayor of this town. We want the crown. Now it's time to get down with the. I know you want to get down with the. Girl, you gotta get down with this team right here. We're going all the way this year. Final at bat, feeling all tense. Weak stuff over the fans round here, sending up a prayer to the man upstairs. This club's legit, they just won't quit. Santana, Jason Kipnis, Michael Brantley, Swish. This team right here, we're going all the way this year. Final at bat, feeling all tense, getting their closers. Weak stuff over the fans round here, sending up a prayer to the man upstairs. This club legit, they just won't quit. Santana, Jason Kipnis, Michael Brantley, Swish.
Welcome back to the Sports Fix. J-Rock with you. Not bad. That is not bad at all. You know what? Very well produced. Very well done. I like, even though I am in no way a fan of the original song that is from, nor any country music, to be totally honest. And hopefully I didn't just anger an entire demographic listening to the show, because, hey, to each his own. But hey, I'll listen to some classical music. It doesn't mean country's my kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Okay, I don't exactly listen to classical music either. I was just making an example, but not bad there. Thank you again, by the way, my friend, Dale Officer, for sending that to us. And he does some great, they do some great, the Grady's Night. Back when Grady Sizemore was hot, he produced a Grady's Night spoof song that was actually really good, of course, in the style of Ladies Night. And so we'll keep bringing you stuff like that. But while during the break, it was a good little break here to get this conversation going. Anthony Sue chimed in on the Facebook page here. It says, Chris Perez, I'm listening to the conversation. He's in a really bad slump, and his confidence is beyond shaken. He can be a really good closer at times, but it seems more often than not, he gets Jose Mesa syndrome, and the Indians need to either change his role or let him find a new role in a different uniform because he somehow can't escape his mistakes night after night. See, I don't know if it's that prolonged, but it is that drastic at this point. So I will say, and you've got to, even if yesterday, see, I think last night really throws a monkey wrench into this discussion. You know what I'm saying? Because into this whole thing, because yesterday people could go, well, he's still got this. He's still done well. He's still done this. He's still done that. Last night, an opportunity, I mean, just in garbage time, just an opportunity to go out there and go, hey, just go show everybody that we're going to be good heading into the playoffs. Go show your teammates. Go show yourself. Hey, you're Chris Perez. That's the natural mindset heading out there. And then, boom, talk about fire starter. He was a flamethrower last night, and I think that's where your flags, even if you were holding on to the Chris Perez banner, last night is where your last grip on that thing let go, and you went, whoa, what's going on here? Because these Indians are going to the playoffs. These Indians have a chance to, I'm telling you, they're not one and done here. These Indians have a chance to make some noise. And the last thing you want to, if you lose, Vishon and Bruce were talking about this yesterday in the chat room, if you lose and you played your best cards, if you lose on something that you should have lost at, on something that you should have got beat at, then you can live with that. You can go, man, I lost. I took my best shot, and I lost. But when you lose to something that you go, I could have stopped that. That shouldn't have happened. That shouldn't have been out there. When you lose in that situation, those are the ones that aren't good, and those are the ones that you should avoid. Go into the phone lines real quick before we take a break. Vince, you're cracking the phone lines here on the Sports Fix.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I got a question for you. Who do you think would be the better matchup for us, Texas or Tampa Bay?
Man, I got to be honest. I mean, if you're looking at just the regular season, and that's not necessarily a gauge, but just by our regular season performance, we were, what, 5-1 against Texas, and I believe Tampa Bay beat us 4 out of 6. So just looking at it from that perspective, I guess I'd rather take on Texas.
I think Texas has the batters for us to fear, whereas Tampa Bay has the pitching. And, you know, 9 times out of 10 in, you know, postseason baseball, it seems like you got to be more worried about good pitching. So I'd have to agree with you. I think I'd rather, you know, if we had the chance to play Texas, even though it's not looking that way just yet. But, yeah, I mean, I'd have to say I agree with that thought.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you said, with Tampa Bay, you've got the pitching, and we've got the pitching too. I mean, if you're into that kind of baseball, that's my kind of baseball. That's a series I could look forward to there. You know, you wish you could see a series there and not just a one and done because a series there. But, you know, either way, you've got good teams we're talking about either way it goes. So it's not going to be easy. And these next 3 days are going to be interesting to find out who it's going to be and where it's going to be and all of that, because all these scenarios are crazy. 2-ways and 3-way ties and 4-way tournaments. They've got it all figured out. Well, the 4-way's out of the equation now, but now down to 3-way ties. But, man, that could be crazy, too. I mean, you get the round robin. If all three teams tie, you end up in the round robin where the Indians would actually get to call their shot. They would get to pick who they wanted to play first. The two teams would play. The winner is in the wild card game. The loser then gets a second shot against – the Indians would get a second shot if they lost, or if they won, they'd be in the wild card. There'd be a second game with the loser of the first game and the other team. Then those two people would play in the wild card. So technically, with three teams tied, depending on how the Indians finish, it's technically double elimination there depending on who wins the coin toss. It's complicated, but it's interesting at the same time. So hopefully – none of that comes out. Hopefully the Indians just win this thing out, and it's the Indians in Tampa either there or here, and we're looking at a hell of a wild card game.
And as we all know, when it comes to October baseball, all you have to do is get in. Just got to get in.
Just got to get in, and then anything can happen, you know?
You got it, man. As always, keep up the good work. Love the show, and looking forward to some playoff baseball for sure. Thank you.
You got that right. Thanks a lot for the call, Vince. On that perfect note, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to switch gears, and we're going to shift from the baseball diamond to the football field. It's time to preview some Cleveland Browns football. Don't worry. We're going to talk a little more Tribe later on in the show, but we're going to preview some Browns and Bengals. First, we're going to look at the Cincinnati Bengals. Jeff Gorman from Browns101.com is going to join us next. We're going to preview the Bengals side of the ball and how they can beat the Cleveland Browns. Then, Ryan Ruiz from the Inscriber joins us on the flip side of the ball. We look at the Browns, we look at this week for them and what they can do to beat the Cincinnati Bengals. All that, so much more to come. Don't go anywhere. It's still early, Daddy. There's a lot of sports fix to go. We'll be right back after the news.
Indian Fever. Each game is a brand new beginning. It's the hits, the homers, the double plays. It's how you feel when we win. So catch Indian Fever.
Be a believer
with the Cleveland Indians.
The Sports Fix, your choice for intelligent talk.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Intelligent talk.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
These guys must be on the wrong station.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get them away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.
The Sports Fix.
As we head into this break, I just want to remind you the Sports Fix, proud to be partners with Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck, 5715 Canal Road, just under the 480 Bridge in Valley View, Ohio. Bill Hershey and Bill Opelich, I tell you about them each and every day. They'll take care of you. Number one, huge Cleveland sports fans, but they're good people, hardworking people, trustworthy people. I don't just come on here, I tell you this all the time, I don't just come on here and talk about places and people that want to buy advertising on the show. I talk about people and products that I believe in, and Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck is one of those places. Whether you've got a truck, car, van, commercial vehicle, big or small, it doesn't matter. They'll fix them all. They're the home of the low price tire guarantee. Find a matching set of tires cheaper anywhere else, and they'll match the price guaranteed, no questions asked, no matter what it is. Hey, and they understand in 2013 that there's transportation issues. People need to get to school, to work, to daycare. All those things need to get done, and the car needs to get fixed, and they'll figure out a way to make that happen for you. Check them out, quicklane.com/Valley Ford Truck, and find out that life really is better in the Quick Lane.
It's an addiction. The Sports Fix. We'll be right back.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Harry Buffalo. The Sports Fix will be live at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted for each and every Cleveland Browns game. So come on out and join in the fun. Go Browns!
Business owners and professionals, do you want to take your business, your product, your team, your event to the next level? You want to advertise right here with the Sports Fix. Our listeners are among the most loyal listeners, terrestrial or internet. The Sports Fix universe is not only the radio show, but tens of thousands of fans on Facebook and Twitter. Email me, Jerry Myers, thesportsfix@AOL.com. That's thesportsfix@AOL.com. And let me help you swing for the fences and hit it out of the park right here on the Sports Fix.
Sports Fix listeners, do you tweet? So do we. So tweet with us 24/7 at the Sports Fix CLE.
You love Cleveland, and you already know how much we love Cleveland. You know who else loves Cleveland? GV Art and Design. Everyday fans, you and I wear our pride on our sleeves. Now, you can wear your pride on your chest. GV Art and Design has one of the hottest Cleveland sporting lines. Whether it's their Cleveland That I Love design, or perhaps it's the Superman Birthplace of a Hero line of team-themed designs, whether you're a fan of the Indians or Browns, the Lake Erie Monsters or the CSU Vikings, the Cleveland Cavaliers, or just Cleveland in general, GV Art and Design has a logo, design, or style for you. Sports Fix listeners, as a special treat, every time you make a purchase from GV Art and Design, use the sales code FIX and save 10% on your total purchase. Log on right now to GVArtwork.com, check out all of their fantastic designs,
and don't forget, use the sales code FIX to save 10% on your total purchase.
Follow GVArtwork.com on Facebook, and remember, GV Art and Design, it's not just a shirt, it's a statement.
I'm Tyler Zeller from the Cleveland Cavaliers, and you're listening to the Sports Fix.
News break.
I'm Christine Lisi. It was time for Exit Sandman in the Big Apple. An emotional night at Yankee Stadium for the last home game for the greatest closer of all time, Mariano Rivera. Longtime teammates Derek Jeter and Andy Pettit took Rivera out of the game with two outs in the ninth during a thunderous four-minute ovation. Rivera, overcome with emotion, had it honored to be a part of that mound visit.
So glad we did. Just a great moment. And just the emotion, you know, of him and us to be able to be out there and share that with him. It was awfully cool.
Tampa Bay won the game, leads Cleveland by a game for the top AL wild card spot. The Rangers trail the Indians by a game. Cardinals' magic number to clinch the NL Central is 1. Pirates up a game on the Reds for the top NL wild card spot going into their weekend series in Cincinnati. Tiger Woods named PGA Tour Player of the Year. NFL, the 49ers ended a two-game slide, beat the Rams 35-11. Vikings star quarterback Matt Cassel over the injured Christian Ponder Sunday against the Steelers at Wembley Stadium in London.
Football fans, it's time to show your support of your favorite player with the Dick's Sporting Goods Jersey Report. Updated each week, the Jersey Report is the place to see who's rising, who's falling, and who is set to claim the title of the best-selling jersey in 2013. Every season starts at Dick's.
You're listening to The Sports Fix.
Welcome back to the Sports Fix, streaming live here on the sportsfix.net. J-Rock with you, and yeah, we are talking about that brown and that orange and that Cleveland. Shifting gears, of course. Ooh, man, the Indians. Can't shift gears too far, baby, because there are three huge games to go. But we are going to shift gears, talk a little NFL football, a little Cleveland Browns football, baby, as it's time for the 1-2 Cleveland Browns to return home after their victory last week against Minnesota on the road. They come back home. Brian Hoyer installed again as the quarterback. He'll get his shot at home with 100-plus tickets of friends and family. There'll be thousands of St. Ignatius graduates in the crowd, I have no doubt. It will be a raucous hometown atmosphere, but can he take advantage of that on the field against a very good Cincinnati Bengals defense? It's a rivalry game. It's the second divisional game already of the season. Very important game for the Cleveland Browns, and we're going to talk about it from all angles. First, we're going to look at things from the Cincinnati Bengals side of the ball, getting ready to go to the phone lines. And by the way, speaking of the phone lines, we'll open them back up a little bit later on in the show for you guys. You can comment right now throughout the day. Hit us up, facebook.com/thesportsfix. Tweet with us at thesportsfixcle. We'll read those comments live on air as we're previewing the game. But let's start on the Cincinnati Bengals side of the ball. Of course, one of the marquee matchups is A.J. Green and how Joe Hayden will be able to handle him. Will Joe Hayden be able to handle him? Let's get a preview of the Cincinnati Bengals and go into the phone lines right now to do that. My man from Browns 101 and Indians101.com, Jeff Gorman. Hang on 1 second as I turn you up. There we go. Jeff Gorman, how you doing this afternoon, my man?
I'm doing fantastic. Great to be here, J-Rock. Thank you.
And it's great to have you here as always. And now here we sit as I kind of set the stage for that Browns return home, some home cooking after a big victory last week. And they're going to look to a tough Cincinnati Bengals team here to do it. If it's not going to be easy if they're going to do it. I think they will. But let's start by looking at those Bengals here. Last week, the bounce of the ball went their way as they pulled off a victory with the Green Bay Packers.
Boy, it sure did. And if it weren't for that, if the Packers could have just hung on to the ball and just gained a little bit more yardage, we could be talking about the Browns and the Bengals both being 1-2 and trying to move up into possibly a first-place tie with the Ravens, if the Ravens, of course, lose against the Buffalo. But it's amazing. Just 1 week ago, the Browns didn't have any wins. Everybody was just falling beside themselves about the Trent Richardson trade. And now we're in a situation where, as good as the Bengals are on paper, we could conceivably, if everything goes perfectly, actually be in first place. It's crazy.
Right, and I don't even look at it from that much so much as the Browns after the way this season has started. To be 500 after 4 weeks to me would be good. I would have already considered that before the season, but the way things went starting 0-2, if you can recover and get back to 500, regardless where things go up and down from here, I think that speaks to the character of the coaching staff and the team. But, I mean, it's not going to be easy. As you said, Cincinnati, I talked a little bit about that defense. They're coming in. You know, of course, A.J. Green. Let's start there and look at the offensive side of the ball, because Joe Hayden is going to have his hands full containing A.J. Green, one of the best young wide receivers in the football.
That's right. Hayden has done a very good job. He's been facing every challenge, taking on the best receiver on the opposing team, and he's been able to shut everybody down. People like Wallace, and of course, A.J. Green is probably going to be perhaps his toughest test. But the one thing you have to give the Bengals a lot of credit for is that they know how to build on their strengths. They've kept with Marvin Lewis as their head coach. He's the longest tenured coach in the NFL, even though his career mark is around 500. But what they've done is something that we always call for the Browns to do, and that is give your quarterback more weapons. No matter who's been the quarterback, whether it's been Whedon, whether it's been anybody, we've like, give this guy somebody to throw to. Give this guy somebody to hand the ball off to. And that's what the Bengals did in the offseason. They had A.J. Green. They had Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, but they kept adding to it. They brought in Mohamed Sanu as a wide receiver. They brought in Giovanni Bernard, who's done very well at running back. And so the Browns come up against them, and they really have a plethora, and not to mention Tyler Eifert, another rookie. So they really had a good offense and then added more pieces to the offense to really make it tough for the Browns or any defense, just a lot of people to deal with.
Yeah, and it's going to be a challenge of Ray Horton in this defense because, as you said, Giovanni Bernard and of course, the law firm, Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, you know, step up. And, you know, you've got to make – Bernard, to me, has been impressive early, but the Browns should fear nobody with this running game. I mean, they really showed me a lot with the way they have handled the first 3 weeks and the increasing level of difficulty when it comes to the running games that they've faced. But you've got, I mean, look, last year, even when Joe Hayden came back, and I'll agree it was a rubber legs game for Joe Hayden coming off suspension, but he did get burned by A.J. Green. A.J. Green has been very successful against both Joe Hayden and the Cleveland Browns in general. I'm pretty sure the Browns are the best statistical team A.J. Green has faced in his young NFL career. He has lit the Browns up nearly every time, and that's something that has to stop. That has to stop, plain and simple, for the rest of the defensive plan of Ray Horton to work, is Joe Hayden has got to lock down A.J. Green.
That's right. It's definitely easier said than done, but if anybody's going to try to do it this time, it would certainly be Hayden. But what you have to do is you have to create some kind of pressure on Andy Dalton, and nobody's been able to do that so far. He's only been sacked 5 times in the first 3 games. So the Browns are going to have to do something to get some pressure on him, and it's going to be difficult because we have Quentin Groves banged up and Jabal Sheard banged up as linebackers. Of course, we love what Barkevius Mingo can do, but he may have to be in there every single down, not just on pass rushing situations, and you wonder if he'll be able to be as effective. But overall, like you said, I like the Browns' chances at stopping the run. I mean, if you can shut down, and I guess 88 yards is shutting down Adrian Peterson, you really don't have to be too worried about what Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis and Giovanni Bernard can do. But the one thing with Bernard is you have to watch him catching the ball out of the backfield because he's very shifty, and he scored the winning touchdown against the Steelers on a play like that.
Yeah, that's all going to be concerns on the defensive side of the ball. Now flipping around to Cincinnati's defense, because the Browns, we know Brian Hoyer is going to be out there again, but he's still adapting to the speed of the game. We know the issues there. The Browns, Willis McGahee says the Browns' running game is going to be much improved this week. They've had a full week to work together. He's had a full week to get himself enveloped in the system, and more work for Bobby Rainey, more work for Chris Obanaya as well. So they expect to run better, but man, like you talked about, not just overhauling this team offensively, but around their entire team, the Bengals really juiced up in the offseason, adding James Harrison specifically to this defense. Now, the Bengals defense is going to be a stiff, stiff test for Brian Hoyer and this Browns offense.
That's right, J-Rock, but the key is going to be, can the Browns get some kind of running game together to take the pressure off of Hoyer? And we've seen it every game where the Browns have tried to establish the run. Things haven't exactly worked out, and they've had to rely on the pass heavily in the third quarter. So we're going to need McGahee or Rainey or somebody to get the running game going, and just so that they don't, so the Bengals don't just sell out and go after Hoyer on every down in the second half. And there is a little bit of hope, because if you look back at last week against the Packers were able to pick up 182 yards on the ground against this Bengals defense, including 103 by James Franklin. So there is some hope there that the Browns could, if they could just get their legs under them and just move the sticks a few times with the run, then you can open things up for Hoyer with the pass. You just can't get to a situation where your running is a total non-factor, because that's going to ultimately end up in disaster for Hoyer and the passing game.
And that's going to be very important, like you said as well there. You can't let them pin those ears back and just keep coming on them. Now, you know, looking at the injuries as well, I've got the injury report here, and I'm not 100% sure who's going to play, but, you know, usually guys that don't practice by Thursday or Friday, usually you can consider that they may not be playing. Cincinnati banged up in that defensive backfield, which may, hopefully, at least for Brian Hoyer and the Browns, you know, you know, hey, I know it's always next man up, just like we talk about here, but there's a reason guys play first and play second and all of that. So maybe perhaps some of that, you know, those injuries, depending on who plays and who fills in, that may be a little fortuitous for the Browns on the injury front as well, as they're dealing with issues of their own too.
That's right. They've got Leon Hall hurt. They've got Dre Kirkpatrick hurt. And it's going to be a situation of, can Hoyer do what he did last week, which was get the ball out of his hands quickly? That was really, really a key. Of course, it helped that he had Josh Gordon there. Of course, Cameron really established himself as one of the best tight ends in the game early on in the season. Hopefully he can keep it up. Gordon as a burner, and then if you've got Devone Betts on third down, you've got a few weapons to work with. It's just going to be a matter of getting the ball out of his hands and not staying back there and getting sacked. He did great last week. He has to keep that up, and because, like you said, the Bengals secondary, that's where they're vulnerable, and we could perhaps create some mismatches with Gordon and Cameron against possibly some of the Bengals' backup secondary. That's where the Browns have a chance to win this game, if they can make a couple of big pass plays on mismatches against the Bengals.
Yeah, and as I said, I've got the injury report pulled up here in front of me, and both of those guys, both of those defensive backs, did not practice, which bodes well to them perhaps not playing or being limited when it comes to the game. And hey, every week you can only play what's up in front of you, so I can already hear it now. if the Browns pull this one off, I can hear people say, well, you know, Cincinnati this, Cincinnati that. Hey, you play who's in front of you. And as I always say, nobody sits around and makes qualifications when they beat the Browns. So I don't understand why Browns fans have to make qualifications when the Browns beat somebody else. But I do think this is going to be a tough game. This is going to be a rivalry game. This is going to be a hostile game. I mean, of course, James Harrison, no love lost there between him and the Browns over the years. So it's going to be a raucous atmosphere. You got Hoyer with his start, but I think that if the Browns defense can take care of business, if the Browns can, they don't even have to establish a powerful running game or anything like that, but they have to establish a consistent running attempt, just because you can't keep that defense out on the field too long. You've got to just buy them a little bit of extra time, because as you know, when you rely on the pass, you usually move relatively quickly and you're getting your defense back out on that field. So I think you've got to get a little more of a running game going, a little more to keep that defense fresh, because if they keep them fresh, and Bashan just said in the chat room what I'm about to say, if you keep them fresh, the Browns defense can win this game with a little help from the offense.
They certainly can. They're really gaining momentum as we talk about, you know, a team finding its identity. Well, the Browns are really rallying around their defense, especially their run defense. And if they can do that, if they can shut the Bengals' running attack down and maybe make it so that the Bengals have to rely on Dalton in the second half, of course, he might succeed. But you have a situation where you can start dictating the pace of the game and getting their defense on the field for a long time. If you can just stop up their run, that's going to be really, really important. Because, you know, the Browns, they've had their troubles here and there, but if you can get one really solid strength of the team, in this case the run defense, you can kind of make up for it, and you can kind of rob Peter to pay Paul a little bit and help your team possibly sneak out an extra win or two, and maybe they can do it against the Bengals, because, of course, it's going to be a lot tougher to beat them down there. This is our chance to beat them here in Cleveland.
You got anything else on your sheet there before I get to asking you your thoughts on how this game is going to go? What do you got there? Any other news and notes about the Bengals here that are going to play a part into this game, you think?
That's pretty much what I have on the Bengals.
Okay, then.
So, yeah. That's about it.
I really thought you had something else. That you're just like, I'm done. All right, let's look at it then. Looking at all of that, because we're going to flip sides with Ryan Ruiz here in a little bit, and we'll look at the same aspects from the Brown side of the ball. What are your thoughts here? Talking about what they can do is one thing. Let's put money on the table here. What do you think? Do the Browns go to 500 here? Do they pull what I guess most people would consider an upset and beat Cincinnati? And hey, for 1 week, you're sitting there at 500, and all of a sudden the world looks a little bit differently than it did 10 days before.
Well, I would love to say that they will, but unfortunately I'm going to have to pick against them like I did last week. Again, I hope I'm wrong. I just think that the Bengals do too good of a job of protecting Andy Dalton. I mean, the fact, just five sacks, like I said, in the first three games, he's got a lot of weapons to throw to. I think the Browns will keep it close, but I think, unfortunately, the Bengals are going to get a touchdown pass near the end, and I think they're going to win it 24-20.
24-20 for the bad guys, huh? Well, you know what? Hey, keeping it real, that's what I like about you, Jeff Gorman. Going to be a good game, an interesting game, and like I talked about this weekend, it's going to be the possibility exists for some spontaneous combustion going on this weekend. You got the Tribe, and who knows which way the wheels of that progress are going to go, you know? And you've got the Browns coming up, of course, the Buckeyes on Saturday. It's going to be a fun weekend. I love this time of year, man, especially when both the Browns, which you weren't sure about a few weeks ago, and the Indians give you things to talk about instead of the usual muckety muck that we deal with around here.
It's amazing to have the Indians so relevant down the stretch, possibly getting into the playoffs. It's just beautiful.
Hush your mouth. Did you just use the word possibly? Wash your mouth out with soap and come back next week and be a little more realistic here. These Indians are a team of destiny. If you didn't hear the show the other day, go mortgage your home, go find a bookie, and put it all on the Indians, and you'll be filthy, stinking rich. Because I'm telling you now, after what I saw last week, this team might not lose again until 2014. I'm just kidding about that. But I'm telling you, something about this team sticks in your gut and says, man, these guys are no joke. These guys are going, I'm telling you, these guys are going to make some noise. Nobody should want to play the Cleveland Indians at this point in the season.
Okay, I will throw out a bonus prediction. I do think the Indians are going to do it. They might even win the first wild card. How about that? And host the wild card game.
And you know what? I'm really holding out hope for that, too. I mean, hey, now that's where they don't control their own destiny. You've got to take all three here this weekend, and you've got to hope that Tampa loses two out of three here. If Tampa loses two out of three and you sweep it, then you get that first wild card, and we get that home wild card playoff game. If not, though, hey, you're going to have to do what you've done all season. Back against the wall, go on the road, take care of business, and bring an ALDS series here to Cleveland. Matter of fact, we don't want one game. We want three or four. So just bring that bad boy back home for us. But we'll find out this weekend. That's going to be fun. And like I said, you got a rivalry weekend with the Browns, and you got Wisconsin and Ohio State. Not a total rivalry, but a little bit of bad blood there. So going to be get your bile up a little bit this weekend watching some sports, baby.
It's a perfect time to host a sports talk show, isn't it, J-Rock?
Oh, I don't know about that. Did something happen? Are we talking about sports? I don't know, man. I'm just worried about Breaking Bad on Sunday. I don't know about none of this other stuff, man. Are you a Breaking Bad guy?
No, actually, I haven't seen it. I hear it's a really good show.
That's the answer I get from everybody who hasn't seen it. I hear it's a really good show. If you hear it's a really good show, why don't you watch it? Then again, if you hear the Indians are a really good team, why haven't you been going out all season? I could say that to Indians fans all over. Matter of fact, it was a good breakdown. Terry Pluto had a nice little write-up in today's Plain Dealer about the attendance issues with the Indians. All right, Jeff Gorman, you're predicting that the Browns, I should say, give it a good old college try, but they fall short, 24-20, huh?
I hope I'm wrong. I can definitely see the Browns winning it, but if I had to make a choice, I think the Bengals have too many weapons.
You did have to make a choice, and your choice has been made. Jeff Gorman, my man, he joins us every week from Indians and Browns 101.com. Talk a little bit of both. Today, we're previewing the Cincinnati Bengals. Jeff, you have a great weekend. Enjoy all those sports we were just talking about, and we'll catch up with you early next week, and we'll see how it broke down, and we'll see if we're talking about a playoff game, a playoff series, a wild card, or a season review with the Indians when you join us next Tuesday.
All right, let's hope we're talking playoffs. Thanks a lot, J-Rock.
Damn right. Jeff Gorman from Indians and Browns 101.com. Thanks, man. You have a great weekend. We're going to hit the break. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we're going to spin that ball around and hit the laces on the other side. Ryan Ruiz from the Inscriber joins us. We're going to preview the Cleveland Browns side of the Browns and Bengals game, and we'll get his dog bones to victory and his prediction, mine as well, and more. You're listening to the Sports Fix, baby.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
Throwing you the best sports commentary in town. The Sports Fix.
I'll tell you what, whether you just started listening to the show today or you've been listening since the beginning of the Sports Fix, you know that our thing is how proud we are to be from Cleveland, to be in Cleveland, and to get the opportunity to broadcast and represent Cleveland to the world live right here on the Sports Fix each and every weekday. Well, I'll tell you what, that same sentence could just replace the word Sports Fix with our friends GV Art and Design and have the same statement, because GV Artwork, you guys have seen their stuff all over town, makers of some of the best Cleveland sports apparel you'll ever see. Unique, original designs. Fantastic. They say Cleveland that I love, and then they put it on their chest, and they put it on your chest too. Don't forget, we tell you all the time, use the sales code FIX. Any purchase you make with GVArtwork.com, you'll save 10% on your total purchase just for letting them know that you heard about it right here on the Sports Fix. So whether you check them out, GVArtwork.com, or check out the brand new store in Lakewood on Detroit Avenue, they are fantastic people with a fantastic product. Cleveland that we all can love. GV Art and Design. It's not just a shirt. It's a statement.
It's the Sports Fix. We'll be right back.
Back in 1990, when I joined Herb in the booth, you could say that first game was when I became a lifelong Tribe fan. Something about Cleveland made us want to stay and call it our home, raise our family here. I can promise you one thing. Home or on the road, I feel what you folks feel. What you feel every game. Cleveland fans are passionate and pretty vocal. I respect that. This is our team. This is our town. This is a Tribe town.
Sports Fix listeners, like us on Facebook today. Facebook.com/TheSportsFix.
Whether it's an oil change or a new set of tires, Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck has you covered for your car care needs. They're your neighborhood quick service experts. They also offer a low price tire guarantee. Choose from 13 brands, and if you find the same tires at a lower price within 30 days, Quick Lane at Valley Ford will refund the difference. 5715 Canal Road, right under the 480 Bridge in Valley View. Come see why life is better in the Quick Lane. QuickLane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
Football season is party season at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. Everyone wins at Harry Buffalo. Every Saturday is Coors Light College Football Saturday with $6 pitchers, four bottles for $10, and the Buckeyes in full HD. Football season is most definitely party season, and your headquarters is Harry Buffalo North Olmsted all winter long. Harry Buffalo, join the herd.
Hi, this is Dean Chenoweth, head coach of Cleveland's Lake Erie Monsters, and you're listening to the Sports Fix.
Yeah, you know what it is. Brown and orange, brown and orange, brown and orange, brown and orange. Yeah, you know what it is. Brown and orange, brown and orange, brown and orange, brown and orange. Yeah.
Welcome back to the Sports Fix, streaming live here on the SportsFix.net. J-Rock with you each and every weekday, of course, live at noon, right here on the SportsFix.net, or 24 hours a day on Digital Delay Daddy on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spreaker, all the different places that you get to enjoy the show and that we get to enjoy bringing it to you. You guys, looking at the chat room here on Mixlr.com, we've got so many different ways to be interactive. You guys are a trip. Yeah, don't feel bad. You're an important important person, doggone it. People like me. Is that old, what's it, Stuart Smalley from Saturday Night Live? Anyways, if you're not in the chat room, which is 97.5% of you, you have no clue what we're talking about. Anyways, welcome back to The Sports Fix. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/The Sports Fix. Tweet with us at The Sports Fix CLE. And as you hear that brown and orange in the background, of course, talking about the Browns, thanks again to Jeff Gorman from Browns101.com for joining us to preview the Cincinnati Bengals side of the ball that last segment. Always great when we get to sit down and talk to Jeff. I love it. And now, going to flip over to the Brownies, baby, as we go to the phone lines again. My man, he joins us every Friday from the Inscriber, Ryan Ruiz, as soon as I get him fired up here on the phone lines. Ryan, how you doing this afternoon as we look at the Cleveland Browns and the Cincinnati Bengals, baby?
Good afternoon, J-Rock. How we doing?
Ooh, loud and proud. How you doing? I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm pissed at Perez. That's how I'm doing, man.
Go. You know what? All right. Time out, Browns fans. And we've got a streaker on the field. Hold on a second. Let's go ahead and let deal with this situation here. I'm with you, but go ahead. Go for what you know.
Oh, man. I just don't think Perez gets it. I watching that game yesterday, it's like I don't think he was available after the game. Like always, he's never available to the media. Man, Chris Perez, what would it be if we went into the playoffs and Perez was the Jose Mesa in 97 that basically blew the playoffs for us, you know?
Let me stop you there because I said this to a couple of people yesterday. I think you're wrong about that. Here's the difference with what we're dealing with now. When you lose with Chris or with Jose Mesa on the mound, then you just look up and go, it wasn't meant to be, because I'll tell you what. You can say what you want now. People can make Jose Mesa jokes now. Before then, when Jose Mesa came in the game, you knew you won the game. Everybody, you wanted Jose Mesa to come in and take the mound in the ninth inning. It was that automatic for the majority of the time during the glory days. So the difference is when you put your best gun out there and he gets beat, you just have to figure that it wasn't your time. But when you put your not best gun out there, somebody that you're not even sure if you really want to put out there, and you get beat, that's your own mistake. That's losing us to a self-inflicted gunshot wound right there. And that's the difference to me, is you lose with the guy who takes care of business, with the guy who you're supposed to have out there. That's great. But the way things are struggling, if you don't want in hindsight to go, man, I didn't want to put him out there, but I put him out there because it's his job. You know what I'm saying? That's not true. That's not the way you do it, man. And I think Tito's at that point now where I think they're having serious discussions about not just who closes, but as I talked about earlier, if it's not Chris Perez, then do you put him on the roster? And I agree, Vashon, we're getting too far away from the Browns, but I agree with Vashon in the chat room that I don't know I'd cut off my nose to spite my face, because I think Chris Perez could help you, but I don't know if you have time to figure out how when you got to deal. This is a day-to-day emergent type situation. Each day brings its own situation. You've got to keep them in a self-contained vacuum. So like I said the other day, to me, the ideal solution is you go closer by committee. If you've got a inning coming up and Chris Perez owns the three guys, you put him out there. If Chris Perez doesn't own the three guys, if he's got some guys that hit him deep, or if you've got Masterson or Carrasco or somebody else who matches up better, then that's who does it. Because to me, winning this thing is all that matters. I could care less about protecting the feelings of Chris Perez at this point in time, because he's not going to be an Indian 6 weeks from now or 2 months from now or however long. And in all honesty, I don't think he wants to be an Indian now. And that's no disrespect. And I apologize if I'm speaking out of place here, but I don't think Chris Perez, I think he checked out of Cleveland quite a while ago, and he's just playing out the string. I don't think he wants to be here. And that's another thing I brought up yesterday, as now I'm going way off on a tangent. But that's the other thing I brought up yesterday, is it's one thing to lose to a guy who gives his all and goes out there, but I'll be damned if I'm going to watch my season go up in flames to a guy who 30 minutes after the game is going to be sipping on a brewski and going, oh, well, season's over, what's next for me? And that's the kind of guy that I get the feeling Chris Perez is, at least when it comes to Cleveland. Maybe he'll go somewhere else and be loyal until he gets mad at the fans. But, and Bruce, save that. Do I blame him? Yes, I do. You're a professional. That's your job. Get out of here with that. I could care less if you like the fans where you play or not. You can cash their paycheck. Yeah. You can play their games. Anyways, we could do this another time. Let's get into the
Browns, I know. I feel the same exact way that you just said.
Look what you did, Ryan Ruiz.
How are you doing, J-Rock?
I'm all right. I'm all right until you get me talking about Chris Perez. Okay.
I know.
Let's talk about some good stuff. Let's talk about these Brownies. They're coming home here. We looked at the Cincinnati side of the ball, and let's start with the Browns offense, because one thing that Jeff Gorman and I were just pointing out, I've got the injury report in front of me here, and Cincinnati has got a couple of cornerbacks. You got safety, Kirkpatrick. Injuries in the secondary. These guys aren't practicing all week, so they're either not going to play or they're going to be limited, which means there's going to be some openings in the secondary for the Browns and Brian Hoyer, perhaps, to take advantage of.
Well, like we talked about last week, Hoyer, I had a feeling that Hoyer was going to bring a new step to the offense. I had a feeling that he was going to be able to move the ball, and what happens, he does, and it was against a terrible Minnesota defensive secondary. But I have a feeling they're going to be able to do it against Cincy at home, too. Cincinnati, I don't know who's on that injured list, but is Terrence Newman on that list?
I'm pulling the injury list back up right now here. Of course, you would have to throw it to me while I was...
Sorry, he said three, and I wasn't sure Terrence Newman was. But this guy's 35 years old. He's like the Sheldon Brown of the 2012...
Sheldon Brown. I was just talking about him the other day to somebody. I believe he has still not been picked up. Not that I'm surprised, but he's still not been picked up by another team here this year since the Browns let him go. Of course, he was insistent that he still had plenty of game left in those legs, but I think we all saw here in Cleveland that was far from the case. Yeah, looking at the Cincinnati Bengals injury report, you've got Leon Hall and Dre Kirkpatrick. Both have not practiced all week. You've also got Reggie Nelson as well. None of them have practiced this week, and as you know, by Thursday and Friday, when guys aren't participating at all in practice, that's a pretty good sign that they're not going to play or they're going to be extremely limited in Sunday's game.
Absolutely. Leon Hall is obviously their best. That's their version of Joe Hayden. And Drake Kirkpatrick, as far as I'm concerned, he's been a bust. I mean, you're looking at two starters, Reggie Nelson, the safety, Leon Hall, the other corner, and then I think Kirkpatrick plays in the nickel. And I think he's been a bust so far. I mean, he has not broken through.
It's early, but yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know, he hasn't broken through the lineup, and you get 35-year-old Terrence Newman starting on the other side. So I think Hoyer can again take his shots as necessary. I don't think he's going to be able to take as many shots, but this is a game. J-Rock, I think this could be a shootout. A couple years ago, there was like a 54-45 game, and then a couple years before that, there was a 90 points in those two games.
Well, you're looking at different defenses here, though. You're looking at different offenses, different. You're talking about Chud's coming out party, of course, with that big shootout that they had. But I think both of these defenses are pretty good. You know, but at the same time, we saw last week, Brown's defense is good, but they still let some points get put on the board there in the second half. You could be right. I think, it's obvious this is going to sound stupid. It's going to be one or the other. It's either going to be a high-scoring game or a low-scoring game. But do you know what I mean by that? It's either going to be a defensive battle or a defensive battle chock full of big plays by the other offenses, you know?
Yeah, I think... Again, this could come down to what defense is going to make the play.
And you that's know, it. We Making get, plays.
We get the pick from T.J. Ward last week, and didn't that seem to change the momentum a little?
Right, and
so
Vashon,
those
just
momentum
saying,
changing plays that we talk about.
Just as you're saying that, Vashon says the word turnovers in the chat room. That's exactly what you were just saying. That's the same thing. You've got to make those game-changing plays. That's the difference. And they've got to continue their improved success on third down, keeping the Bengals off the field, getting those third down conversions stopped, getting the Browns' offense back out there on the field. They've gotten better each game with that. That's going to be important. And two, you've got to protect. Just like we talked about Cincinnati, Jeff Gorman with a good point. Cincinnati's offensive line has held up well and protected Andy Dalton. We need to get to him. And on the other side of the ball, we need to stop that defense from Cincinnati getting to Brian Hoyer. We cannot let them pin those ears back and just attack that young quarterback.
They got some guys on the line that can play. That Petco and Michael Johnson on the other side. I mean, they got some guys that can play on that D-line. And you're right, that Cincinnati line, for some reason, every year, they're solid offensive line. So, you know, Dalton stayed upright so far. I think he's only been sacked 5 times this year. But, you know, going back to your third down conversions, the Cincinnati Bengals are darn near 50% in their third down conversions this year. And I know it's only 3 games, but Brown's got to figure out how to stop them from converting. And then on the same side, you know, what did we talk about last week as far as fluidity and flow? Moving the chains, and the Browns are still aren't doing very well. What was the conversion percentage last week?
I think it was five or six
conversions, I think.
Yeah, exactly. It was, again, that's something they've got to work on, because as I was saying, that's where I was saying in the previous segment about getting the running game going. Even if you don't get it big, you've got to get it going so that you can keep those chains turning a little bit, keep that defense an extra. I mean, every running play that you can add to your offensive time of possession there adds anywhere from, what, 40, 50, 60 seconds of real-life time there that
yep.
you can add to your defense staying off the field. So think about it, just the difference of a few, you know, a half a dozen different running plays mixed in there, you know, throughout the mix of things. And I know Norv sees this. It's not like I'm teaching Norv Turner anything about offense, but a half a dozen more running plays, 6-8 more running plays, and you've now perhaps added anywhere from 5, 6, 7 more minutes of rest time to that defense. And that could be all it takes, especially looking at the Browns with the injuries. Mingo is going to be out there a lot because that depth is going to be tested at linebacker, because you've got a couple of guys with Groves and Sheard, most likely. Groves is out. Sheard most likely not playing either.
Yep. Yeah. Maybe running back by committee. I mean, you know, Obanaya,
well, that's
going
to be
it.
That's going to
be a solid
sure.
Change of pace running back. Maybe put him in McGahee. I don't know about this Rainey kid. I don't know enough about him. I don't like what I've seen out of him so far. He doesn't get the reps either. But Obanaya and McGahee, I mean, if they can put 60, 70 yards on the board, you know, that would help time of possession, like you're saying.
Well, absolutely. And I talked about it earlier. Willis McGahee is 100% positive that the running game is going to be more improved this week, and that they've had. And I give it to him. He's had a week in the system. He's had a week to get, you know, not that a week gets you in that much better shape, but it's a week of reps with NFL guys getting yourself back in. And it's a week. See, that's the thing, is that when the trade was done with Trent Richardson was an end of the week deal. What was it, Wednesday, Thursday that went down? So,
yep.
Your game plan was already installed, so it was really hard for the coaching staff to really make a lot of changes. You basically had to take the simpler running plays that you had, throw the rest out of the book, and throw these guys in there. Willis McGahee coming off the streets with 2.5 days notice, and, you know, he didn't even get the first phone call until Monday or Tuesday of the week. So, you know, Obanaya, you know, has been primarily a fullback, and Bobby Rainey is a young guy as well. So I think that's part of it, and I'm not giving this coaching staff excuses, but I think that's realistic. I mean, you've now had a week where Trent Richardson's not a part of your game plan. That wasn't a part of the conversation this week, so I think that we will see some differences in the running game. Whether they can make it happen, I don't know. And perhaps if, and I'm thinking that this is going to happen, but if Sean Laval is able to start on Sunday, which it's looking like he will be, perhaps that solidifies this offensive line back together. Although, first game back, there's probably going to be some communication issues, but I feel a lot better about the right side of that line once we get Sean Laval back in there.
I 1,000% agree. Sean Laval is a true right guard. Drafted him in the third round, you know, a few years ago, and he needs to replace. I hope he's ready to go. Man, that could be the best thing for our running game. As
he
well as
our
pass
yesterday.
Protection, too.
He practiced with the ones yesterday, so he's definitely going to make an attempt. I think that they're going to push him hard yesterday, today, and then rest him up tomorrow, obviously, walk through. And as long as he's responded good to this week of practice, I believe that you'll see Sean Laval starting there this Sunday.
Good for him, because that high ankle sprain, you know, as a former football player, that's a tough thing to come back from. Ankle sprains tend to linger, and, you know, they can keep you out for a while. I remember, I think Jamal Lewis had one when he was with us, and I think it kept him out for a little bit. It was either Lewis or somebody else. But
it's had Laval out as well. Didn't Sean Laval injure himself, was it the second week first preseason? It was early on. It was very early on in training camp. So I believe he's already a good 6 or so weeks into the healing process here, too. That's about the time frame, but you're right. I mean, hey, man, but you know what? Tape it up and get out there, because that could make a big difference, because you solidify that right side. Left side's been holding up pretty well. You've got Hoyer out there picking up blitzes with the running back blocks. I mean, all of a sudden, a weakness could become a strength of the team, and that's putting a whole lot on the shoulders of Sean Laval, but that's the difference I think it makes there of him filling in that line. We'll see how that plays out. I do expect to see him, and if so, that should help the running game, like you said.
Yep. Yeah, Sean Laval being back out there would be a huge difference. That'll even, like you said, solidify the right side, and I think that'll definitely help out Mitchell Schwartz and give him what he was used to last year.
And sitting here looking at both sides of the ball, I mean, you know what? We'll get into that. I'll get your prediction in a second. Let me get your dog bones, my man. Let's jump into there. Let's jump into your keys to the game on what you think it's going to take for the Browns to beat the Bengals. I've already gone on record and said I think they do, I think they will, and I think the Browns are 500 when we come back from the game next week. But let's hear it from you. What do the Browns need to do to make that happen?
Okay, three dog bones to the W this week. I'm with you. I do believe that the Browns are going to win this game, especially at home. And dog bone number one, set the tone. You know, with all the chips stacked against them a week ago, and the Browns surprised the nation on the road against Minnesota, and I think that setting the tone early and not coming out flat, that is huge key to this victory. The Browns need to prove that last week wasn't a fluke. You know, don't take away anything from the Cleveland defenses to setting the tone. They were ranked 6th in total yards per game, and they've done their job. The offense needs to get off to the fast start and set the tone as the Battle of Ohio plays out. That's dog bone number one. Dog bone number two. Now, before when I wrote this article earlier this week, I didn't know the Cincinnati Leon Hall was banged up. That's a huge blow to their defense. So dog bone two, number two, was take what the defense gives you. I didn't believe that you're going to be able to take the shots that you could take that they did last week against the Vikings. So dog bone number two is take what the defense gives you. This defense is full of playmakers that we've talked about. Cleveland needs to keep it short and simple. One thing I didn't see a whole lot last week was what I like to call quick hits, just quick hitting plays, just halfback screens, quick plays. You know, the Josh Gordon was the quickest one that I saw, the Josh Gordon 30-yard catch and run on the screen to him. But I don't believe that Hoyer's going to be able to force the passes against the defense like he did against Minnesota. I mean, he tried to force it in there, and he got picked off by Harrison Smith, and he got picked off by the Minnesota linebacker.
Let me jump in right there, just because right on what you just said, talking about those quick hits, one that they tried over and over that was starting to drive me nuts the other day was that bubble screen to Josh Gordon, because it was getting swallowed up by the end of the game. But part of me thinks that, you know, North Turner's been doing this a long time. You've got to think that part of that was a setup job, that, you know, they ran that play enough to get plenty of film for other teams to see it. I would not be surprised this week against Cincinnati if that bubble screen wasn't thrown 6, 7, 8 times on purpose last week so that they could set up their fake, the bubble screen to one guy, and then boom, somebody like Jordan Cameron slipping over the top of the defense. I could see that, because they beat that play so many times, beat it into the ground, and they weren't successful, that I'm going, okay, North Turner's not running this same play and not succeeding for no reason. He's setting this up. He's either setting it up for now, or he's setting the league up for later. But, man, did you notice that? Talking about quick hits, I mean, that was a play that has potential, but, man, they were bottling that thing up. But you got to think, perhaps, and I'll tell you what, right on those lines, I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns don't try something, not tricky, like necessarily like the fake punt variety, but something a little bit out of the bag, something downfield early. I wouldn't be surprised to see them try to take advantage of the momentum of a hot crowd and a big hometown crowd and perhaps maybe take some of the air out of the Bengals early on.
I'd love to see it too. I'd love to see Travis Benjamin get into this offense. You know, he's arguably one of the fastest guys in the NFL.
I think he's doing too much, though.
I'd love to see a fly route or go or something, or even a double move by Benjamin, but we're not seeing him.
I think he's doing too much as it is, obviously, because clearly mentally, and that's a whole other part of the game that people have to worry about, is, yeah, he's got the speed and that, and I did think he worked on improving his route running in training camp in the offseason, but he's having trouble handling his primary job right now. His primary job is punt returns. I mean, they're already, we're talking Greg Little now doing kick returns or trying different things, but, you know, you cannot muff that punt. I mean, look at how quickly a good day turned bad. Look at how quickly all your work can be outdone because a guy's out there playing flag football and muffing punts and giving, you know, Minnesota excellent field position. Yeah, you got away with that once. You do that again and again and again, and that's how a team goes 2-14 without even trying. And I think that's one of the issues that I'm having with him right now is maybe he's trying too much because he did have to – remember, he was part of the playbook. Even though he didn't do a lot, he had to be a bigger part of the playbook and a bigger part of the offense during the first 2 weeks that Josh Gordon was suspended. So perhaps he was focused on too many different things. Some guys can handle more than others mentally. Maybe he had – you know, he's learning routes, he's learning plays, he's learning all the different audibles, and you know, and it's no excuse for fumbling and dropping things, but maybe there's a lot on the plate for that guy, and I think perhaps the return of Josh Gordon allows the Browns to slow down a bit and ease him in a little more. I just don't think he's ready to play a lot of wide receiver in the NFL. I think there's more to the position than just speed.
Yeah, I agree. You know, that's true by the fact that when he caught the punt and then got hit right away, he's so small that that ball just popped right out. I mean,
and that's one of the differences.
170 pounds.
Out.
So
that's one of the things that Vashon was just pointing out while you were saying that is the size too, because there's the difference. Josh Gordon's fast, but Josh Gordon's big and strong too. Josh Gordon can go get that ball. He can fight for it. He can go up and get it. And that's one of the differences too. He's not just fast. He's fast and powerful and athletic as well. That's what makes him a much more complete package. And he's going to help guys like Benjamin too, because him drawing that attention is going to help out, obviously, Benjamin coming up underneath. I think that there will be a role in this offense for Benjamin. I think there is, and I think they have to find it. But right now, he has to not kill us on the special teams game. He has to focus on doing what he does the best that he can do it. Because as we've seen, he's got the ability to change games just like that. Snap of a finger. He gives us better field position. I mean, look at last week. Every time we needed an answer the last few weeks, he's come up with a return when we needed it. Might not be for a touchdown, but it's that little 25, 30, 35-yard deal that gets you close to midfield, and all of a sudden, points are right there for your offense to take.
Yeah, he changes the field position like Josh Cribbs did early in his career when he started punt returning. So I agree with that, absolutely. It's a good segue into dog bone number three, though, J-Rock.
We've
talked about it a little bit. It's find the mismatches. And I like I said, Terrence Newman's 35 years old, and I think he's like the Sheldon Brown of the Cleveland Browns from 2012. I have to believe that by simple math and common sense that the old man can't cover Josh Gordon, Benjamin, Bass, put Cooper in if Cooper gets the game day roster. I think the other mismatches are, and again, I didn't know this earlier in the week that Reggie Nelson was down, but Jordan Cameron's 6'5", Reggie Nelson's 5'11". You know, there's another mismatch. Finding the mismatches is dog bone number three. And I would, and again, I didn't know that Leon Hall was banged up, but I can see Leon Hall mirroring Josh Gordon. So I'd like to see Josh Gordon move around a little bit, put him in the slot, put him on the left side, put him on the right side. You know, obviously when Josh Gordon has the ball, good things happen. So
you got that right.
That's dog bone number three, is find the mismatches.
All right, Ryan Ruiz, let's put it down. Pen to the paper, money on the table. Final bets put down. What's your prediction here on the Browns and the Bengals? Last week, people thought we was crazy. I don't know about you, but I said, hey, Browns were going to shock the world with Minnesota. So I'm putting it down here. I think they go 500 after this one. What about you?
Yeah, I didn't take the Browns last week. I lost, so I'm taking the Browns this week. I'm taking the Browns because they have battled adversity. They have heart. They have passion. While some Browns fans jumped ship, a lot of them stayed on board, and now you're seeing that the Browns are at least playing like an NFL football team, and it feels like we're watching actual football again.
This weekend,
I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns 35, Cincinnati Bengals 28.
35-28. Ryan Ruiz jumping on the Browns this weekend. All right, and you know what? We'll find out this weekend. It'll be a much stouter test of where these Browns stand going forward. Still a whole lot of work to go. It's a work in progress, but that doesn't mean that you can't enjoy some sunrises along the way. Ryan Ruiz from the Inscriber joins us every Friday to preview the Browns, and he gives us his dog bones to victory, and we'll catch up with you next Friday. Hopefully, we are talking about some playoff predictions for the Indians along with some Cleveland Browns football.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to see these Indians get there. I want the first spot, J-Rock. I don't want the second spot.
I was one
of those people in the beginning of the season that said we are going to make one of those wild card spots. I have been on the wagon all year long, just like I have all my life with the Tribe. And I think they are going to make the playoffs. I'd love to see them get that first spot. And as you see, and I know how passionate you are, the fans are starting to show up now. So we shall see.
That makes all the difference in the world. We'll talk about it next week. Ryan, go Tribe, go Bucks, go Browns, go everybody. Going to be a hell of a weekend and a hell of a week before we catch up with you next Friday.
Absolutely, J-Rock. Go all Ohio teams, and I will talk to you in a week.
You got it. Ryan Ruiz from the Inscriber with us every Friday. Ryan, you have a good one. We're going to hit the break. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up here on the Sports Fix.
And now, a very special announcement from the Sports Fix.
Black bears weigh between 200 and 500 pounds. Brown bears weigh between 300 and over 1,000 pounds. Black bears run away from you. Brown bears run at you. When attacked by a bear, simply lie still on the ground and cover your face and head with your hands. When the bear is finished batting you around and mauling you, contact the U.S. Forest Service.
And that was a message from the Sports Fix.
Hey guys, as we hit the break, just want to mention the Sports Fix, of course, proud to be partners with Harry Buffalo in North Olmsted, home of each and every Browns game day Sunday. The Sports Fix, broadcasting pregame, postgame, and halftime shows live in the house. We're giving away prizes, doing some trivia contests, having a great time each and every Browns game. Whether they win or lose on the field, everybody's a winner because we have a party each and every Browns game at the Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. Don't forget as well, they've got Coors Light College Game Day Saturdays. Get all your Buckeye action there. Great drink specials on Sundays. Those Hair of the Dog pitchers are only $10, and that right there turns a bad day and a frown upside down. All of that, Monday Night Football, your favorite Browns players watching the game with you, and so much more. The Harry Buffalo North Olmsted, just outside Great Northern Mall. We'll see you there for each and every Browns game. Don't forget, Harry Buffalo, proud sponsor of the Sports Fix. Join the herd.
Hey, Cleveland. This is Daniel Booby Gibson of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and you're listening to the Sports Fix.
Football season is party season at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted, and no matter who you root for, everyone wins at Harry Buffalo. Every Saturday is Coors Light College Football Saturday with $6 pitchers, four bottles for $10, and the Buckeyes in full HD. Every Sunday, the Sports Fix is broadcasting live with giveaways and prizes and joining you in watching all the Browns action with Bud Light beer specials and $10 Hair of the Dog pitchers.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
Plus, every Monday night, catch the Monday Night Football action with some of your favorite Browns players. Football season is most definitely party season, and your headquarters is Harry Buffalo North Olmsted all winter long. Harry Buffalo, join the herd.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck, home of the low price tire guarantee. QuickLane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
Welcome back to the Sports Fix, wrapping things up for the day, wrapping things up for the week here on the Sports Fix. What a week it's been here in Cleveland sports and in the world of sports. And Major League Baseball is getting to the tail end of their season. 6 months away, 6 months ago, I should say. They were packing up trucks and heading down to spring training, and we were doing previews, and now it's come down to three games, the final stretch, the final weekend. A few teams and a few cities hanging in the balance. I know they are definitely anxious to see how these next few days play out, and we are one of those cities, and it's been a while, so it feels good. Like Mike Brandenberry brought up earlier this week, even the seasons where the Indians have been in the playoffs, and it's seasons like 95, even some of these great years, they weren't exactly in pennant races. These were runaways when they owned the Central Division. Very few actual pennant races, actual coming down the string like this that the Indians have been involved in. There's been a couple, but not as many as you would think. That's what makes this even more fun. And most people, well, not us, most people didn't predict that they would make the playoffs this season. We did. And so we're enjoying this a little bit more. But no, all joking aside, hell, who cares who predicted it at this point? Everybody should enjoy it. And this weekend, them final three games. And it looks like from what we saw last night, you don't take anything for granted. But it looks like from what we saw last night that, remember I said I wasn't sure what kind of Twins team was going to show up, one ready to end this thing or one ready to maybe put one last kick in the tail of a team like the Indians, but they look like a team ready to end the string, and that could definitely play into our favor finishing up these last three games. We're going to see how it goes. Do they overtake Tampa? Do they hold off Texas? Do they all end up dancing the jig together? Who knows? But come Monday, we will be here. We will be live. We'll get Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com on with us, and we will see where the Indians stand. Are we previewing one playoff game, two playoff games, three playoff games? Who knows? Because really, all of that is possible. The Indians could have to win three games just to get into the playoffs, depending on, and I'm not talking about the three games this weekend, just to get where they want to go here in this thing. So we're going to check all of that out. We're talking about all of that on Monday. We're going to watch it, live it, experience it this weekend. Of course, you're listening to the Sports Fix as we wrap things up. I am the Big Daddy on the microphone. J-Rock, Jerry Myers, reminding you that before Monday comes Sunday, not only is there a Browns game, but there's a Browns party live at the Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. I'm there each and every Browns game. We do a live pregame, postgame, and halftime broadcast, which you can hear right here on thesportsfix.net. It's the Sports Fix official Browns pregame, postgame, and halftime shows. It's totally different, obviously, than what you hear from everybody else, and it's us doing it. LG from Cleveland Sports 360 joins us. It's a great time. We play. It's fed through, not only obviously is it fed over the air, it's fed through the house speakers. It's a great time, and we do door prizes. Every person who comes and watches the game with us Sundays at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted gets a door prize ticket on their way in the door, and we do nothing but give things away the whole game. Every commercial break, we're digging in the hat, pulling out a ticket, and giving away some prizes. Last week, we had Indians tickets and so much more. Speaking of Indians tickets, trust me, if that tribe makes the playoffs, we're going to have some playoff tickets for you right here on the show. But this Sunday, come to the Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. Hang out with us as we watch the Bengals, as we watch the Browns go to 500, Daddy. Be live with us in the house. It's a hell of a time. We'll have a great time this Sunday live at the Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. All of that going on. We got Buckeyes this weekend. You got the Indians. You got the Browns. It's going to be a big, big weekend. Next weekend, big weekend on the show here, too. Next week, Doug Plagans makes his debut on the show for this year as we talk some Monsters hockey and preview training camp. Cavaliers Media Day Monday. I'll be down there talking to some guys. We'll play that later on in the week. It's going to be a big week as the Monsters and the Cavs are getting back at it. All the usual suspects here on the Sports Fix will be here. So much to do next week. It's going to be a huge week. It's going to be a lot for all of us to talk about. And don't forget, share and win. Talking about giving things away. Every Monday, the next time you talk to us will be live here Monday on thesportsfix.net, and we're going to give one of you the opportunity to win the GV Artwork t-shirt of your choice. How? Share this show that you just listened to. Right now, send out the link. If you're listening to the replay, send it out. If you listened on iHeart, share it there. No matter where you're at, share the show that you're listening to right now. Tag us so that we can see it. At The Sports Fix CLE on Twitter, The Sports Fix on Facebook. Make sure we see it. And guess what? Your name's automatically in the hopper. Come Monday at noon when we kick off the show, we're giving away a GB Artwork t-shirt, and you get to pick the shirt if we pick your name. So share the show this weekend and win something from our boys at GV Artwork. Hey, speaking of, pick up one of those badass Goon Squad shirts of theirs, because that Goon Squad is beating this tribe right on into the playoffs, baby. Well, right alongside my boy Ubaldo. So anyways, wrapping things up for the week. Thank you guys so much. It's been a great week. All the guests, all the callers, all of you for listening. Great week. Cannot wait for next week to do it all again. Bigger, badder, and better. We'll see you Monday live. Right here, same bat time, same bat channel. Go Tribe, go Bucks, go Browns, go everybody, baby. And we'll talk about it on Monday, live, right here on the Sports Fix. We love you, Cleveland. Have a great weekend. Out here in Cleveland.